Let us pray. Father, our Heavenly Father, we call your name, God Almighty, El Shaddai, and Elohim, and yet we call you as our Father because of the relationship that you imparted through the Holy Spirit by the work of your Son Jesus to be eternally adopted into your family. And all the heaven's glory and all the inheritance we'll share with you and with your Son Jesus and with every and each brother and sister in Jesus Christ. As you are infinite, your love is infinite, and so is our inheritance in Jesus. You know, what a privilege and blessings that we receive from you. We deserve nothing of this privilege, and yet you lavished this extravagant love. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we forever worship you in the name of Jesus and by the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to the glory of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We commit our heart to you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anyone know two important mission statements of Jubilee Church? It is written at the very front page of our Sunday bulletin, if you have. And also it is written on our website on the front page. Bless the nations and raise up the next generations. Those are two mission summary of Jubilee Church. So today I'm going to dwell on this thought, bless the nations. And we are going to answer to this question. Why should we embrace the idea of bless the nations? So today's topic is bless the nations and why we should embrace it and live for it. In order to answer this question, we have to go all the way to Genesis. There's no Bible references on the screen today, but you should have your sheet, and all the Bible references is on your outline, so take a look each time. Let me say up front why we should embrace the Bless the Nations. The first reason is because it is God's idea. It was God's idea that He created the diversity of nations. God initiated the development of the different nations from the descendants of Noah. Genesis 10:32 reads, these are the families of the sons of Noah according to their genealogies by their nations, and out of these the nations were separated on the earth after the flood. So after the flood, that killed every breathing creature on the earth except the families of Noah, 8 people. God spread them and separated 3 origins of the people and the nations on the earth. We know that 3 sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. From these sons, initially, the nations began to be formed. And as time progressed since then, more nations were brought forth into existence as people were multiplied all over the earth. So we can clearly see that it is God's idea. The nations, the concept of nations is the God's idea. That's why we should embrace bless the nations. The word nation in Hebrew Bible in the Old Testament is goi. Goi, a singular, and goim is a plural, nations. Which simply means people or nation or a large group based on various cultural, physical, and geographical ties and often extended clan relationships. So the word nation or nations is used more than 500 times in the Old Testament alone. So we can see that one of the key words of the unified theme in the Old Testament and the New Testament is nation. And it was God's plan for the people to multiply and spread all over the earth. Unfortunately, however, people did not obey God and fell into sin. Instead of spreading, they gathered in one place, trying to establish their own kingdom apart from God. We know this event very well. This is called Babel Tower. People tried to make their name known and glorified. Of course, God did not leave them alone, and God thwarted the plan of the people. God confused them by creating different languages, and this confusion made them impossible to communicate to each other. And as such, as a result of that, this naturally drove them to spread and form the nations and ethnic groups based on the language they spoke. Unfortunately, that was not the end of it. All people continued to fall short of the glory of God. Somewhere along the line, after Noah's son spread, there were 400 years that God was completely silent over the people. Because there was no single nation that honored the name of God, their creator. No single nation worshiped the Lord. So God had to implement another great plan of His to put the human race back to the right track according to His plan of redemption. And God called out of nowhere a man called Abraham. Let us look at Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. The Bible says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. I'll make you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed.'" One day God appeared out of nowhere to Abraham of Mesopotamia, who was the son of pagan worshiper, Terah, his father. And God chose him to make a new nation out of him. God made a covenant with this man called Abrahamic Covenant. And the covenant was basically made by God alone to bless Abraham and his descendants with no mandate from Abraham other than just to take it and believe it. And God's promises were basically God will make a great nation out of Abraham, and God will make Abraham's name great, and Abraham will be a blessing to all the families and nations on the earth. And later God also blessed more explicitly the land promise. Today is Israel, which is also known as Canaan. What is the nation God created from Abraham? It is the Hebrew nation, which is also known as today's Israel. There are no binding requirements from God, from the side of Abraham. That means this promise was put into effect without any obligation from God's Abraham's part. That's why this covenant is called a covenant of grace or covenant unconditional covenant. Because there's no string attached to Abraham. It's from God and by God and from God to Abraham. Then why did God want Abraham and his descendants to bless the nations? This is the second reason why we should embrace the bless the nations. Second reason is for God's glory. Because God blesses the nations so that he may be glorified. That's why we should bless the nation. It's for God's glory. Bless the nation is so important because God's name is at stake. Primarily and ultimately, it is for the glory of God, why God wants to bless the nations. And it is for the worship of the true living God from all the peoples on the earth. Let's look at a couple of Bible references. First, Psalm 46:10. Psalm 46:10. It says, "Cease striving and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." You know, if you read Psalms and Isaiah especially, so many verses like that appears. God will be exalted among the nations. And Malachi 1:11, "For from the rising of the sun even to the setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." You know, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And all throughout the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, God repeats this idea of all the nations will glorify his name. So what do we see from these verses? The goal of God's blessing of the nations is for his own glory, his own worship. God is glorified when the blessed nations worship him. This is the second reason why we should embrace the blessed nation. We bless the people on the earth so that they would join us to worship God together in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we need to embrace bless the nations. And this is the purpose of mission. Mission's ultimate goal is worship. Mission exists for worship. So Israel was chosen to be the representative of God's blessings to the nations on the earth. But unfortunately, there are so many unfortunately, Israel failed to be the channels of God's blessing to the nations. They became proud of themselves as the chosen people of God, and they despised other nations, and they called them Gentiles. They despised Gentiles. They hate Gentiles. They regarded Gentiles as the firewood of hell. But that was far from God's intention why they chose them. But God did not give up. Eventually, God sent his son Jesus Christ to the nations on the earth so that he would reignite his vision for the human race to be fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Jesus clearly understood his father's desire. Let's look at Mark 11:17. Mark 11:17, it says, "And he began to teach and say to them, 'Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of worship, a house of prayer for all the nations? But you have made it a robber's den.'" This is what Jesus said when he visited the temple of God. Jesus pointed out that the temple of God was meant to be the place where people pray for all the nations. It doesn't about Israel alone, But Israel became very selfish and lost their original mission from God, which Abraham received to bless the nations. Somehow the chain of blessing or channels of blessing was disconnected by Israel. That's why Jesus came to reconnect, to be the chains of blessing or channels of blessing. So Jesus came to put back the original purpose of God by raising up the church and his disciples to be the channels of God's blessing to the nations. And if you look at Matthew 24:14, this gospel of kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. You know, again, Jesus embraced all nations as the core of his purpose, why he came on earth. In a sense, Jesus, who was a descendant of Abraham, reminded Israel of their lost vision from God. Jesus gave the people the sketch of God's plan for history. The end will only come after all the nations, the whole world, hear the message of the gospel. And gospel means good news, in which to say Jesus died for our sins by the love of the Father. And whoever believes in him should not perish. That's the gospel message. And Jesus wants us to spread the good news of this gospel to all the nations. And only then, the end, the new heaven and new earth, the kingdom of God will come. Now let us look at the very last words of Jesus written in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the very last words according to Matthew's Gospel. And, you know, when Jesus said these last words, and why Matthew put this as last word of Jesus, because this is the conclusion of Jesus' ministry. And this command, Matthew 28:19-20, is called the Great Commission. And God commanded Abraham to go to the land he indicated, and Jesus commanded his disciples and his church and us to go to all the nations and make disciples of them. As the covenant was made with Abraham, the Great Commission has the element of going and blessing the nations. So bless the nations is clearly the core idea of the Great Commission. In order to bless the nations, we have to go. Going means living out of our comfort zone for the benefit of others. Other nations. And this is the third reason why we should embrace the blessed nations, which is because it is in the Great Commission. Jesus commanded us to bless the nations by going to the nations and making them his disciples. You know, we can bless the nations in different ways, but the core of blessing the nations is making them disciples of Jesus so that they become blessed nations so that they would continue on to bless other nations. And this chain of blessing has to go on until every nation will be blessed, and then Jesus will come back. So Jesus basically reconnect this chain of blessings of the nations, and he commissioned the church, his disciples, to do that. So we live in this era where this great commission is applied to us. But let us look at last reference, Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, and all the tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. In Revelation 7, we see the goal of God's history. This is the vision of heavenly worship. In a sense, God fast-forwarded what will happen in the future so that this reality would be understood to us. And he gave this vision to John, so that he wrote it down, Revelation, so that we would know the fast-forwarded version, a vision of God, what will happen. And as you see here, people from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues will be gathered and worship our Father and the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this is the final destination of God's story, which is called history. Worship of the Father and the Son is the final destiny of the people on the earth from all nations. You know, how amazing it is. And this is the fourth reason why we should embrace Bless the Nations. It is because great in gathering. This vision we just read, Revelation 7, is called Great in Gathering. God will gather every nation to worship Him and His Son in His kingdom. It's called Ultimate in Gathering of God. You know, nothing is worthier than blessing the nations, as the blessed nations will worship the Father and His Son. And we bless the nations so that nations will worship God. So, bless the nations is God's vision and Christ's commission and the final and ultimate reality of heavenly worship in the kingdom of God. And we know that God will fulfill His vision. It's a sure certainty that will happen. And we can be used by God to bless the nations. And the blessed nations will worship Him. You know, from every nation will worship Him. So bless the nations is the unified theme of the scripture from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And it reflects the heart of God, our Father. In my perspective, in my judgment, no mandate is more important than bless the nations. It's not just my idea or this church's idea, but the idea from the entire Bible. And I hope you'd embrace it and live for it as an individual and as a church. Bless the nations. Those who experience the Father's love will understand the heart of the Father, which is His heart is always turned to the nations that He made. And He wants to bring forth into the group of worship community as we are one of them. But our mission doesn't end just to gather and worship on Sunday, but we need to continue to bless other nations, other people, other languages, locally and globally, until Jesus will come and Jesus will honor this effort because this is the Father's heart. Father's heart. Nothing but Father's heart. The Father's heart is to receive worship in honor and glory from every nation on the earth which He made. And history is moving according to God's plan. By the faithful churches and people who are committed to bless the nations. Would you please bow down for the moment? Let me ask you a few questions to you, all of you, including children here. Do you love God? Do you love God, your Father? If you do, would you please raise your hand? Amen. And have you believed Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you do, would you please raise your hand? Let me ask you a last question. Do you want to be used by God to bless the nations? If you do, would you please raise your hand? Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your heart is for the nations because you are the cause of each and every nation that we see on the earth. It was your creation, and there is a reason why you put them together as the group, ethnic groups, by their language and culture. And the geographic location. And Heavenly Father, Jubilee Church is one of the churches raised up in the United States. And it's not just one individual you bless, this nation, but you made up this nation to be the nation for Jesus Christ. And there are many people from these nations to send the missionaries to all over the world for last 100 years and even more so, even before then. And let this country continue to bless other nations by sending people we know that many countries that we know of, China, Korea, Japan, Thailand, Philippines, Vietnam, and Malaysia, Indonesia, and India. And all the way to Israel, have been blessed by you, by the committed people who are faithful to this notion of blessing the nations, Father. But there are many people, many new generations are raised up in this country as well, and they need to hear your gospel and use this church to reach out the people around us and beyond, so that all generation will be equipped to be your disciple. And Heavenly Father, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to touch us and fill us and empower us to be your faithful witnesses so that we would be able to bless the nations. Thank you for your ministry for this church, and because you hold fast this church. It is yours. It belongs to you, Jesus. You are the head of this body, and we are the branches. And you are the one who will continue to minister to this church, so that this church would fulfill faithfully and powerfully your great commission, which is bless the nations and make disciples of the nations. Heavenly Father, for those who raise their hand, especially for the purpose of being used by you to bless the nations, bless their hands and bless their heart, and bring forth different kinds of nations in their heart, so that they will reach out in your appointed time, according to your plan. Heavenly Father, we envision that every tribe, every language, and every nation will be gathered in your heavenly feast that you will invite into your table to worship you and your Son Jesus, the Lamb of God. Until then, Father, bless us so that we'll be able to bless the nations. We thank you and we pray everything in Jesus' name.
I stand amazed in the presence.